Welcome to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. There are lots and lots of IT professionals who work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. Well, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. Welcome to my listeners on this another podcast of Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds. In this podcast, we talk about how the busy professionals, not just IT, I mean, in any other industry, but especially IT folks who are very busy, do not have time. They get involved into their job so much that they really don't have time to do anything. So to share the wealth of knowledge, not just from me, but from distinguished leader in the industry, we invite our guests to this podcast and basically give them an opportunity to share their perspective on how passive wealth, how one can get into generating passive wealth and how it can help them. So today I have Taylor Low, right? How do you pronounce?
Yes.
Yeah, Taylor Low today with me. Welcome, Taylor.
Thank you for having me today.
You are very welcome. And I'm going to do a formal introduction so that everybody knows who you are, right? Taylor is on a mission to teach busy professionals how they can invest in real estate without dealing with tenants, toilets, and termites, right? We want to remain away from these three T's. He highlights and distills the knowledge, experiences, and lessons of expert real estate investors through his podcast, The Passive Wealth Strategy Show. Same kind of podcast probably what I have. So, but Taylor, thanks very much. I have seen your podcast name and my podcast name kind of match.
Pretty similar.
So his goal is to help his listeners and investors build lives of abundance and escape the Wall Street casino. Right, he believes that building passive stream of income is the best path to wealth generation, not the typical boring. Don't have that $4 latte you enjoy twice a week. Enjoy your latte and buy some property. That's what he teaches. Right, Taylor helps busy professionals passively invest in real estate syndications through his company NT Capital. His asset classes of choices are multifamily apartment complexes and storage facilities. He and his fiancée live in Richmond, Virginia. Outside of real estate, he is passionate about Brazilian jiu-jitsu and has been training since 2015, which is how his fiancée met. Awesome, Taylor. I mean, this is amazing. You know, before this podcast, I didn't know that you have a podcast with a similar name. So pardon me on that.
No problem at all.
I would like to start this podcast to know the unique background that you have in your own words. I mean, I kind of gave the formal introduction, but tell me a little bit more about yourself, Taylor.
Sure. So I have a technical background similar to your audience. I went to school rather than computer science or anything like that. I went to school for chemical engineering and got out of that and got into the corporate world. And, you know, I like to have props when we record a podcast. So I have books here. And the first book about money that I read when I graduated from college was The Intelligent Investor, which I have my copy right here. Had it for, you know, well over a decade at this point. But that's about, you know, stock and bond investing. And that's how I got started. I started investing in the stock market, did that for a few years. And I happened to be investing at, you know, the bottom right after the Great Recession, which was the best time to be investing in the market. But to me, it felt like, I say Wall Street casino, but it also felt like a roller coaster ride, up and down and up and down. And even when you're up, you just feel like the down is coming. And when we're talking right now, the down already came. So we're on the downslope. And I've always hated roller coasters. I grew up right near Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, Always hated them. Family loved them. I don't like roller coasters, and I don't like roller coasters with my money either. So another book that I read along the way after a few years, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, got my one of my copies here. I have quite a few of that. And I started investing in real estate, and I really found that real estate, in my opinion, is the best way, the most proven way for busy professionals to build wealth. But I think most people don't realize that there are a lot of ways to do it beyond the couple that most people are familiar with, which is HGTV teaches you, or say they teach you how to flip a house and show you, you know, how, basically how to lose money on flipping houses. Or, you know, everybody probably knows that uncle that had a rental property and, you know, went bust, or he spent so much time on it, or he didn't make much money, all those horror stories. But I found that there are so many other options for folks to invest in real estate that, you know, I was investing, and that's why I started my show. I love teaching people about building wealth with real estate. So, you know, that's what brought us here.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, I kind of like what you just said, that, you know, you really get to know about real estate through the horror stories. Your uncle didn't make money, or somebody lost money in real estate. But I want to get into, you know, discussion of what are the different ways of investing besides just getting into those grunt work, you know, toilets, tenants, and termites. What are the different ways, and how do you help investors to get into those ways, and what are the benefits?
Sure, absolutely. There are many ways to do it, really. And we dig into that on my podcast on many episodes. But, you know, personally, I invest in real estate syndications, and I help, you know, bring people into those deals that passively invest with us in those deals. And we buy, you know, multifamily and self-storage primarily, but there are many other types of asset classes you can invest in. But that's not the only one. And not everybody wants to give up control and invest passively with an experienced partner, which is what we do in real estate syndication. So other options that we talk about on my show, because I just want to help people learn about what's out there. I don't want to tell you what's right for you. I want to help you find the information. Make the decision for yourself. So there's note investing. People buy mortgage notes from banks, basically at a discount, get them performing better and sell them off for later more, or live on the cash flow and the debt payment there. Lending is a big one. Hard money lending, basically lending money to flippers. But the big caveat there is, if you're going to get into lending money, you really need to know what you're doing. So it's a high risk strategy to get into, especially if you're a new real estate investor, because it's probably going to be a pretty big check. And you don't, if you don't have experience as a flipper yourself working with fixing up properties, you might not know what to look for or what to avoid and things along those lines. And then another popular strategy in the space of passively investing, but keeping control, are turnkey properties. Basically, there are turnkey providers out there who will find properties that are in disrepair. They'll fix them up. They'll put a tenant in there. They'll put property management in place. And then you basically buy the property from the turnkey company. There are reputable turnkey providers out there, and there are disreputable turnkey providers out there. So that's another area where, you know, if you're thinking about going that route, you really need to dig into the lessons around how to do the due diligence on the properties and the turnkey providers and all those things. That's a huge topic, but there are, suffice it to say, there are numerous options out there. You just have to learn about them, and then you'll likely find one that works for you.
So, I mean, to your point, I know you gave a couple of options, you know, note investing, you know, hard money lending, stuff like that. To me, and correct me if I'm wrong, probably, to me, it takes a lot of guts, you know, for somebody to start doing the lending part. I mean, which you just mentioned yourself, even note investing. Yes, it is passive after a certain point, but even to get to the level to be able to invest, buy a distressed note, make that note performing, you need to know a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And you almost need to know a mentor. You need to have a mentor who can guide you to do all that stuff. To me, it is semi-passive. It's not really, I mean, it is passive at certain point, but to get to that point, you know, you probably need to spend a lot of time to learn the ropes.
Yeah.
Would you agree to that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not something that you would just go out and buy anything and then it would automatically be profitable. You need to know what you're doing in any of these strategies. And really, the most passive one out of the list that I gave is syndication investing, because you're giving control to somebody else. There's none of them are equal in the level of time commitment or equal in the level of sophistication that the investor needs to bring to the table. And yeah, personally, if you spend enough time in the real estate investing space, as I'm sure you have, you go to local networking events, you're going to find people who, say, flipped their properties themselves for years, were very successful at it, but realized that it's a job just like any other job is. But they had a big nest egg. They know about flipping. So they decide, hey, I'm going to get into money lending because I know what a good deal looks like. I know what a bad deal looks like. I know who the people are. I'm just going to lend this money out and live on that passive income. And that works if you know what you're doing. And I agree that that notes too are not something that you just want to jump into. You need to know what you're getting into. But in a way, there's a the built-in barrier, because as a note investor, you need to have a servicer there. You need to have somebody basically handling collecting the money from the borrower that's in the property. So I think that's an additional incentive that will hopefully keep note investors from spending too much time on their investments like they might be tempted to. If you went out and bought a single family up the street, you might say, hey, I'm going to save some money on a property manager. I'm going to go manage that myself. Well, you didn't buy an investment, you bought a job.
Yeah.
Notes have that extra built-in layer of, well, you have to hire somebody to handle this for you.
Awesome. Awesome. So I would like to talk a little bit more now about the syndication part. I know we talked a little bit about a couple of other options, but how syndication truly helps investors to invest passively and build their wealth. You know, give your perspective on this, Taylor, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the syndication space, I'm trying to use the word syndication less often, but it's kind of stuck in my vocabulary. But as somebody who's coming into the industry, it's just a buzzword. It doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. What it means, a syndication, again, I'm using the word again, is when you have a group of investors that come together and buy a property together, but not all of them are running the property or running the business. Only a handful of them are really running things, and everybody else is just a passive investor. So those passive investors get to participate in the investment in a piece of property and get to leverage the experience of the active or general partners who are in the deal, running the property, finding the property, getting all the debt and doing all the heavy lifting. The passive investors are just along for the ride. But it would be irresponsible of us to not mention that there are obviously risks involved there. You need to know that the general partner knows what they're doing. Have they done it before? Are they going to behave in an ethical manner? Did they underwrite the property well, which really just means, did they do the math right? Did they project the future cash flows and values properly? Did they get the appropriate debt? All these things that are involved, because when you're buying a 200 unit property, or 225 is the first one that I was involved with. When you're buying a 225 unit property, you're really buying a business, right? You're trying to increase the value of the business, and it is a business based around a piece of real estate, but you know, I kind of liken it to more to surgery, right? If you're going to get a particular surgery, like I just saw one of my my mom's twin sister today broke her wrist. So she's getting surgery on Tuesday to repair her wrist. Well, she's getting surgery from somebody who's done it before, right? Yeah. It's the same thing with a real estate investment, a syndication investment. Have they done it before? Are they going to do a good job? Did they behave the right way? Is all very important in investing in this strategy.
Awesome. First of all, sorry to hear about your mom's twin sister that she broke her wrist. Hopefully,
she broke the other one a couple years ago. This is her second wrist surgery. It's
oh my God.
She was playing soccer. It's her favorite thing to do, but she'll be well. So
okay. So I would like to know your thoughts. How should you find? I know in medical science, you go to a podiatrist or a, you know, obstetrician, you know, to get your wrist fixed or your feet fixed or wherever. They are specialized, right? I mean, you go to the directory, you type the word, or your primary care or emergency room refers you to somebody. What are the ways, you know, for you know, these busy people, you know, these are very busy people. They don't have time to even eat food, you know. You know how it is. I mean, you have been in the chemical industry. I'm sure you have worked 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And in tech industry, I've seen people working as little as 15 to 18 hours a day. So and that's considered little, you know. And I personally, myself, have worked, you know, 10, 12, 15 hours a day easily. So my question is, how should people find these investments? These are 506B most of the time. I mean, investments where there's a personal relationship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do you help them to find you or others, you know, for that matter, good investments, you know, what should be their approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to dig right into that to kind of respond to your long working hours and things. One of the reasons that I was inspired to get into the real estate industry and business and help people passively invest is because I come from a family of very hard workers. My parents work very hard. My dad is actually in IT, and I watched my parents go through the Great Recession many years ago. I was in college at the time, and my dad was, you know, working. He went from working 10 hours a day, you know, under pre-Great Recession conditions to working all the time. I mean, he might have slept 4 hours a night at the most, but other than that, he was working all the time trying to keep his job because they were firing everybody. Mm-hmm. And here we are, you know, in 2022, and he still works hard all the time. And you know, my goal in this business is really being inspired by watching them, but also how can I help other people invest in this space too? So I've seen that firsthand. You know, so that's why I got into this. But anyway, to address your question about how to find people to invest with. I mean, it's a big question, right? And it's not something that is as easy as go to Google, punch in, who can I passively invest in real estate with? And then, you know, go invest with them. That would just be reckless, frankly. You know, doing your due diligence, finding the right people is important. Now, there are things like this podcast that your listeners are listening to right now, listening to us. Now, just because you heard us on a podcast does not mean you should go and invest with us or anybody else that you hear on a podcast. But it's a jumping off point. Go and learn more about the people that you're hearing on podcasts, for example. Again, being a jumping off point. Google them, look up their companies, see if you can find organic references. Can you find somebody that's invested with them before and learn about their experience? Can you look up their profile? Those kinds of things. Do that due diligence. But so first, the most important thing is to understand the ethics and the reputation and the experience of the person who is arranging a deal. That's critical. Next comes evaluating the deal. And that is complicated as well, right? And this is where education comes into play. And I, again, props. I love my books. this is another one of my favorite books, What Every Real Estate Investor Needs to Know About Cash Flow and 36 Other Key Financial Measures by Frank Gallinelli. For the number nerds out there like me, this one will, you know, satisfy you. Sorry, I'm banging my mic here. It's not a very long book. You can see it's pretty thin, but it does get into the weeds on underwriting. And that will teach you how the numbers work. You don't need to know how it all works, but the responsible thing to do, in my opinion, is to at least understand how it works and know how to check the math. Because, again, we want to, if you're passively investing with somebody in a particular deal, you have to do your research. You know, I understand people are busy, but and the goal is to passively invest so that you're not involved in the back end. But personally, you know, in my passive investments with some operators, it took time to get here, but I'm now at the point where these operators that I invest with, I'm in. You know, they send me a deal. Of course I look at it, but I know them, I know their experience. I'm going to evaluate the deal to see if it's a yes or no, but it's probably going to be a yes because I know them and their experience and reputation. I've invested with them before. There's a lot of check. So there's a lot of these things that you have to do consistently over time. But once you do them, you get more experience with them, you get more comfortable, and you build up experience with these sponsors. It just becomes so much more fluid. So there will be time investment on the front end to find the people to do deals with, but on the back end, you'll be glad you did, and you'll get a lot faster at it too.
This is like learning something, right? I mean, if you are learning to swim, you know, yes, it will take some time for you to swim, but once you know how to do a lap, you know, your second lap is going to be faster, and then next day it will be a little bit better, and the next thing you know, you'll be a swimmer, right? I mean, you don't need to know where the water is coming from or who's maintaining the swimming pool, because somebody is doing their job anyway. It's just a probably wrong example, but that's how I look at it. Yes, it will take some time to, and it's not a lot of time. I mean, to me, it is maybe a couple of hours mm-hmm. a week for a couple of months, and you learn about real estate, so to say, and then maybe within 3 to 6 months, you are ready to start investing your hard-earned money. Typically, one thing I would like to tell, maybe you can also emphasize on that, is typically you are cutting a check for $25,000 to $50,000 to $100,000, right? Mm-hmm. It is slightly bigger check for normal middle income, medium household income kind of folks. So it is always good to educate yourself and put the money with the right investors, right syndicators, so to say, and kind of divide your money into multiple investments. You know, kind of diversify with multiple syndicators and you know, reduce the risk somehow, you know, due to diversification. So that's a very good point. I mean, so how are you, Taylor, how are you helping investors? You know, how do you approach anybody new? What is your strategy? Typically, what is your, you know, like a sales pitch, or how would you go about it? Just share your experience or your strategy.
Sure. So for me and my business, you know, and bringing people into our deals really comes down to making sure people are the right fit. Their goals are in line with the, you know, the deals and that we do and what they offer and the things along those lines. For folks that are more generally getting started in their real estate investing experience and you know, building up and not really sure which way they're going to go, obviously there's my podcast, The Passive Wealth Strategy Show, which is very, very similar to yours. And we go into a lot of those topics. And I bring on a lot of more active real estate investors. And I'm always trying to translate their lessons to busy professionals who are just kind of getting started. And to go back to the beginning of my bio, you know, you mentioned my little phrase about inflation is really screwing up my number there. I need to update the dollar figure, but I say, don't skip the $4 latte you enjoy twice a week. You know, go buy some property, build up some cash flow, and, you know, expand your means is a phrase that's common in this industry. Maybe I need to change that to $8 latte. I drink black coffee. Yeah. I don't know what lattes cost, but that was one of my frustrations with typical financial education out there. It's you need to cut down everything. You need to pinch every penny. And I'm a pretty frugal guy. I don't have expensive tastes. I don't really say this, but I'm a vegetarian. My fiance is vegan. So we don't really eat that expensive. We're not going out and having, you know, fancy meats. It's pretty much just vegetables and tofu here in our household. So I'm not a big spender, but still, you know, we always want to be expanding our means. This is one of my frustrations with the typical financial education that's out there. For other content that I put out, I'm just putting out now a 7-day course. It's free on red flags in passive real estate investing, very much tailored toward the syndication space, because that's the main, you know, my main experience in real estate. Folks are interested in that. Once again, it's free at passiverealestatecourse.com. That's out there, and we're always going to keep working at that and keep making that better. I'm very doing my best to make that information dense and accessible and useful for people when they're going out and looking at deals. So always just trying to put, you know, knowledge out there and associate with great people.
This is a very good point. I mean, you are educating the world, putting your time, and that is making you a subject matter expert. You know, when people go through your content, they look at it, you know, they look at, you know, who has written this content, you know, who is talking there. They're connecting with the subject matter expert, you know, right there, right? So that's a big plus, so to say, in investor's mind. I mean, as you said, you know, it doesn't mean that you are listening to the podcast, you don't do the due diligence. Mm-hmm. Investors have to do their own due diligence anyway.
Totally.
But the most important thing is the education. What I'm hearing is the education is very important, 3 to 6 months, spending time learning about, who's Taylor, who's Prashant, who's, different people, and learning about their, connecting with them through different channels, talking to them, interviewing them, and learning about their investment styles, ethics, any negative reports about the businesses. They are very, very important, so to say. So Taylor, I know you are helping a lot in creating so much content. So far, just, give me some experience, your worst experiences in real estate, so that, for the education purposes only, so that listeners know what could happen in real estate,
Sure. So I don't know how much you care about the fourth wall, but you send these questions ahead of time. And I really thought about this one because for the most part, I mean, my investing experience has all been great. Yes, I've lost money on stuff, but life goes on. I'm still alive and I'm doing fine. So as far as real estate investments go, early on, I passively invested in a deal using my self-directed IRA. Again, I, had really maxed out all of my retirement accounts very early on and heavily invested in the stock market. So I had capital saved up and I started investing as a passive investor and invested in an apartment deal. And the very, very short version, this took years to unfold, is that the property manager kind of sort of pretty much allegedly stole some money from us, overbilled us on construction, a few other things that never really were super clarified by the operator of this particular deal, turned into a legal battle between the operator and the property manager. And the reason for that is, yeah, sometimes property managers aren't always going to perform, but most of them aren't going to steal from you. And if they do, in a normal situation, you fire them, go to court and, move on, find somebody else to manage the property. And hopefully you can, recover the damages. The real twist in this scenario was that the property manager or the owner of the property management company was one of the operators in the deal. He had what are called general partnerships shares. So he had ownership in the company that owned the property. And that was really intended as an incentive to get him to perform better, right? You'd think that would make sense, right? Oh, he has some additional ownership. Maybe he's going to want to do a little bit better. But what I found is that when property managers have ownership in these deals, they kind of tend to think more along the lines of, well, now I can't get fired, so I'll just kind of do whatever I want.
Wow.
And so this deal, we did make money. It worked out. The operator who ran this deal has been on my show to talk about this a bit. And, I think he did a good job. All things considered, he contained the damage and we still did make money on the deal, but not as much as we expected. The real thing was there was that big lesson. And I've seen the same thing happen to other investment groups where they bring in a property manager who's supposed to be third party. And then they give them ownership in the deal, thinking this will incentivize them to do better. And it does the opposite. So that was obviously a negative experience. Even though we still made money, I still got to learn a big lesson. And I now see that happening to other people. And I say, well, there's a big sign. So for me, it's a negative when a third party property manager is no longer really third party and they have management or they, excuse me, they have ownership in the company. If it's an operator who has a subdivision that is the property manager. So if the operator of the deal owns their own property management company, I don't see that as a negative. I see that actually as a positive because then the operator has all the control over the property manager. It's really when they have that quasi third party, but not really fully incentivized. And they have other properties that they manage that aren't yours and it just gets muddy. So yeah, negative experience. We still made money and now I get to learn that lesson and teach other people that lesson and, move on.
Wow. That's an incredible way of putting this lesson. I mean, I do have certain properties where I have this kind of arrangement. I've yet to figure out whether something fishy is going on there or not, but you know, who knows, you know, but
maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not a, it doesn't, I'm sure it doesn't go negative 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's the wrong kind of incentive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I appreciate. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, appreciate you sharing it with the listeners, you know. So, you know, I want to, you know, I know there are a lot of negative experiences and I don't want to go too much into negativity also. Right. I mean, the purpose of the show is to uplift the morale of our investors. So mm-hmm. tell us something good, you know, something the investors, you know, all the listeners should get enthused about after hearing it from you.
Oh boy. Well, I would say one of the, I mean, it's always fun. So one of my first investors was my best friend from college. And obviously we're still friends and he still invests with me, even though I see him like once a year at this point. And, you know, when we sold that first deal and, you know, he made money and, you know, we had other investors in the deal that made money as well, which is great. But, you know, now I get to lift people up and help other people make money, help my best friend make money. And, you know, now I have, again, it's going back to my parents are asking me about, you know, investing with me in these deals. And, you know, just those people are like seeing that there is something real here, and the people that have joined in, you know, when we get to give them, you know, positive results, it just feels amazing. Plus I think the experience of investing in real estate, again, I feel like I've stepped off the roller coaster because I mean, I have Twitter, I have all these news apps where I see, you know, hey, the market is crashing. And you know, that sucks for a lot of people. The crypto, I have a little bit of crypto, it's a very, very tiny percentage. If it went to zero, it would not affect my life at all, my holdings. But I see how much it's down and it's, you know, it's making some people's lives really rough. There may be instability in the financial markets as a result of that. I don't really know. Netflix is down 70%. I think that's the biggest one.
Wow.
I just think that the feeling of feeling more stable as a real estate investor is just nice. You know, doesn't feel as up and down as when I was a
stock and buy. I mean, to me, it is emotional health, you know, the quality of life. You know, the roller coasters are there. They are there for somebody who is investing in crypto or in Netflix or whatever. I mean, again, that's not the point. We are not pointing anything. To me, how can I live my life? How can I sleep better in the night? You know, even if market is going down, I have tangible asset, you know, which is already producing cash flow. My rents are not going down, right? I mean, the rents from your property are not going down. So the properties that you have bought, they are producing the same income, probably more with the inflation. Yes, expenses are going up and potentially your rents are going up also. And you are making similar cash flow on your property. So you are sleeping on it, you know, so to say, it's your passive returns are coming. Market is down. Yeah, maybe property is down a little bit right now, but it will come back. Property values never go down in the long run. So it will come back and you will end up making better return at the end of the day, right? So to me, it is extremely, extremely satisfying, you know. And it's the quality of my life is better. It's emotional stability. I'm not monkeying around, you know, shouting at kids, you know, what the heck, why did you spend $4 on your latte? You know, things like that. You know, those things happen, right? I mean, when you don't have cash flow, you become irritated. So to me, this is extremely, extremely important. I don't make 50% return on my money in real estate every year, like potentially you can make in crypto or whatever, but you are making a stable return, so to say. I mean, 7 to 8% pref return is considerable return for you if you are not doing anything if you are not doing any work actively. What do you think? I mean, what I just said.
I think, you know, Warren Buffett's phrase or advice about the rules of investing, rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, refer to rule number one. Yeah, I mean, there's these huge run-ups in crypto and whatever. I don't know. GameStop went up to $300 a share there for a minute. And I think too much of the general financial media is so obsessed with trying to make that one home run. Oh, if I could make that one home run, I'd be free. Whereas in reality, for most busy professionals who are, if you're already good with your money, if you're consistently investing, consistently making a modest but comfortable return over time, you'll be in a very good place. But swinging for the fences, I don't know why I use baseball metaphors. I don't like baseball, but I don't know. It works. Going for those home runs, I think, does more damage for most people than, just being really consistent. And, you can look at guys like Jim Cramer. There's the inverse Cramer index that does the opposite of what he says, that actually massively outperforms him. I think that's just like a perfect example. I remember when the Great Recession was happening, the market was crashing, and he was on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and Jon was yelling at him about giving bad financial advice. And here we are 15 years later, and the guy is still on TV giving bad investing advice. Like, I don't get it, but hey, all we can do is try to share the message of, long-term focus, comfortable, modest returns, but extended over a long period in scarce assets, and really doing our best not to lose money. I mean, that's all we can do.
Taylor, I love the golden nuggets that you are sharing with the listeners and with your calm voice. You are sharing so much. I'm pretty sure our listeners are going to like it. I know that I would love to talk to you for long, but I try to keep my time, with respect to your time and my time, obviously. And actually, more importantly, the listeners' time, we try to keep it within 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. What are the final message? Anything you want to tell, to listeners, if there's anything you want to say?
Have a long-term focus. Focus on that long run. Don't get caught up in whatever today's story of the month is. Think about 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever your time horizon is. Think about that long term. And again, if you want to get in touch with me, or you want to check out the 7-day course we put out for free, passiverealestatecourse.com.
Awesome. And how can, besides passiverealestatecourse.com, how else can they reach out to you?
Sure. My company is, our website is ntcapitalgroup.com. There's a contact form you can fill out there. Or if you sign up for the course, honestly, the emails just come from my email. So you can just respond to one of those and that'll come straight to me. And I'm not hard to find.
Got it. No, awesome, Taylor. I mean, that's just so amazing. The purpose of, we have served the purpose of the show, where we educated.
Love it.
Yes, we have educated our investors, with your approach, obviously your mindset. These things are very, very important. I appreciate your time. And until next time, thank you so much, Taylor. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar, signing off for today.